Welcome to HIV Frontlines US Edition, a new podcast series from thebody.com. In this series, we'll talk with the dedicated people throughout the United States who work tirelessly to fight HIV. From HIV prevention workers who educate people in parks and bars, to treatment advocates who visit with migrant workers in rural areas, to the dedicated women and men who staff our country's not quite legal needle exchange programs, you'll get a front row seat to the realities of HIV prevention, treatment, and care in some of the hardest hit areas in the United States.
This is Erica Nelson reporting for The Body. Welcome to HIV Frontlines, U.S. Edition. I'm here with Reverend Jimmy Myers, pastor of the West Antioch Missionary Baptist Church in Coldwater, Mississippi. Reverend Myers also works with the Black Church Initiative, an organization that does HIV education for youth in churches around the U.S. Reverend Myers, thanks for being here. Can you tell me how long you've been a pastor?
I've been a pastor for 13, going on 14 years.
How long have you been dealing with HIV in the work that you do?
Well, since I've been involved with the program, the Black Church Initiative, that's when I first really got introduced with teenage pregnancies, HIV, STDs. And so actually through Bible studies, through sermons, actually introduced the program through the congregation.
What's the program?
The program is the Black Church Initiative. It's dealing with a program called Keeping It Real. It's an 8-week curriculum that we take our young people through. And after completion, we give them a graduation certificate and try to give them positive choices, life choices, not only that, but godly choices, because it is a faith-based program.
What was the catalyst that got you involved in doing this kind of work?
Well, one of my now members was a consultant or coordinator for the Black Church Initiative, which is part of the Religious Coalition of Reproductive Choice. She introduced the program to me, and I have a heart for young people. I have 3 children and myself. So that was one of the catalysts that kind of got me involved in it, if I'm using that in the right terminology.
Yeah, I'd say so. Can you tell me a little bit more about the program, about what the curriculum is like and what kinds of things you do and what you talk to the young people about?
Yes. Matter of fact, the program is called Keeping It Real, and if you would allow me, it deals with sex and sexuality, a spiritual gift from God, and also it deals with the family affair. The role of the family in understanding sex and sexuality, or ourselves as being sexual beings. Session 3 is connecting with the spirit, healthy relationships. Session 4 deals with in your face, dealing with the impact that the media has on our young people. So we deal with that. Also in session 5 is a freedom to choose, make a decision about your sexuality and who you are as a person. And then session 6, Not In My Church, is combating the sexual violence that are actually happening in the church, but no one is talking about it. So we have dialogue to help people talk about that. Session 7, doing the right thing, promoting justice, telling people that it's not all right to look down on people, but it is right to love people. And then lastly, the influence of the church, because the church have a big influence, particularly in the African-American community, because most of the young people or people of African descent come to the church. If you don't get it in school or in a home, the church would be the last place that it need to be introduced, because church is like a safe haven. You know, if it's coming through the church, then it ought to be all right.
Give me kind of an example of what you talk about. Do you talk about abstinence? Do you talk about condoms? Do you talk about both? What kinds
talk
of things?
Both. We actually definitely deal with abstinence. Of course, we know abstinence is the key and is God's way. But if Jesus was alive, of course, I can't say what he'll do or what he wouldn't do. But we do know that people are having sex. And if they're having sex, they need to know that there are consequences behind the things that they do. So we definitely preach abstinence. But there's also a point of the message that we preach that you have a right to choose, but make sure you know the consequences of your choices.
You talked about sexuality being a gift from God. That's such an interesting idea. Can you tell me what that means?
Yes, in Genesis, the Bible states that God created man and woman in his image, and everything he created was good and very good. So we're made in the image. The actual Hebrew word, the imago Dei, which we're made just like God. So if God made it good, then he included sex as part of that.
And so let me get this right. You teach the young people to embrace their sexuality, but to make healthy choices and also consider being abstinent as well. So you teach kind of a panoply of ideas.
Exactly, because there's one thing to give good advice. We try to give godly advice, because good advice is say, you know, don't eat a lot. Godly advice is say do everything in moderation, or don't be a I'm lost for words right now. Gluttony, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you ever come up against churches that are teaching a different way, that aren't interested in teaching about sexuality and aren't interested in talking about condom use and HIV? And how do you deal with that?
Of course. We have some pastors in the area where I'm from that basically won't deal with the program at all, because God's way, the way that they see it, that God promote that we be fruitful and multiply. I do agree with that. But also, you got to understand that God want us to be healthy human beings, and sometimes it's not healthy to multiply. And also, I try to relate to the pastors, no matter what denomination they are, and let them know that if you love your children, then you want to give them positive choices about their bodies and about what they do. Prevention is the key. Abstinence, true enough, that's what we want to teach and preach, but we got to be able to reach the young people where they at. Many times when I deal with issues like that, I let them know, I said, well, you go to Walmart, but you don't buy everything that's in Walmart. You get the things that are good for you, just like with this program. Some things you may not like. Well, some of the things that you need to know, that your young people need to know about themselves as sexual human beings.
Shifting gears just a little bit, do you think that there's a lot of homophobia in the faith community? Do you think that's had an impact on the HIV epidemic?
Quite naturally, because the homophobia thing is everything was taboo basically in the African-American home or an African-American church. And if you were gay or lesbian or whatever, you know, you just like isolated. So don't bring it in church, although it's in the church. You know, don't tell or don't nobody know, don't say anything about it. So because of that, people think you have to be a homosexual to catch HIV or AIDS. So many times it caused such a wrath in the church, because you have a lot of older members who, in their age they grew up, you know, they didn't hear about AIDS or HIV. So if you bring it up now, it causes a problem with the congregants, with the pastor and stuff. So I think that's the reason why there's a lot of homophobia, as we use the word, in the church, because people just don't understand.
Do you talk about homosexuality in your curriculum?
Yes, we do. In the curriculum, as I've stated earlier before, this comes up because we dialogue with the young people and we talk about the freedom to choose, make a decision about your sexuality. That comes up about, you know, am I attracted to a male? Am I attracted to a female per se, or a person of the same gender? So that comes up because you have a lot of young people who are confused about who they're attracted to, or what does the Bible say about this, or what does the Bible say about that. So in the curriculum, we have to be Bible savvy to let them understand that there is a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof is death or destruction. So we try to break it down to them and keep it real at the same time. If you have a sexual preference, you have to let you know that God loves you in spite of.
Yeah. So you tell them that it's okay, that if they're gay, that's all right.
I don't necessarily tell them that it's okay. What I tell them is that the choices you make have consequences. And just be willing to accept the consequences that come along with the choice. Some people choose to overeat, but there's consequences. I'm not saying that it's okay to overeat. It's okay to eat, but it's not okay to overeat. But I can't make you overeat. I can't tell you to stop overeating, but there are consequences.
I understand. Why do you think that communities of faith can have a difficult time dealing with HIV prevention and dealing with parishioners who are positive in their care? What do you think the obstacles are?
Because of the phobia that's out about HIV, there's more and more information that's available for everybody now, so it's not as difficult as it was. And then it also depends on the area you're in. If you're from the south, from the east, from the west, it just depends on the area. If you're in the rural area, you know, you're dealing with people from a different educational background. You're dealing with things that people just don't want to talk about because they're afraid if you talk about it, it'll happen. Well, you don't have to worry about it happening because it has happened. So you have to talk about it. So the fear is because a lot of people who don't know much about it don't want to hear about it. But they must hear about it because it's happening, it's here. And unless we do something to prevent it, it will continue to be an epidemic. It will continue to be a problem. It will continue to be something that will destroy a family.
And what has your congregation done specifically to deal with prevention? You talked about the curriculum. Do you also talk about sexual identity and HIV in your sermons at all?
Yes. I did a sermon on God has a plan for man. And God does have a plan for man, for mankind. And the plan is that we love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves. No matter what your neighbor is or who you think your neighbor is, you love your neighbor regardless of, you know, just because you have an alternative lifestyle does not give you the right to look down on me. You know, so as far as having an AIDS day, that's in the works now, coming up December 1st, to make a actual, not only announcement in the church bulletin, but also do actually a sermon on AIDS in itself, the epidemic and the problems that plague our world.
Can you provide some specific advice for communities of faith for ways they can make a difference in terms of HIV prevention and caring for parishioners who are positive?
Yes, talk about it. Get information. Go to the CDC. Get all the information you can. Invite someone who knows about the epidemic, who's educated on, to come in and talk to your congregation. If you're afraid to do it, get someone who's not. Hear other views, hear other sides. You know, be open. Jesus met the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. But everybody else, they disregard her. They cast her aside. Jesus said, I want to talk to you. The leper, Jesus talked to the leper, touched the leper. We have to talk. We have to communicate. The wine bibblers, Jesus, he talked to the harlots. Whosoever will, let them come. You got to talk about it. First start with talking about it. If you're not talking about it, you're not doing nothing about it. The old cliche, what you don't know won't hurt you, what you don't know will hurt you. So you have to talk about it.
Why do you think that HIV has become so stigmatized?
Because of homosexuality. Everybody thinks it's a gay disease, and if you say you have HIV or AIDS, they think automatically that you're gay or a homosexual, but it comes through blood transfusion. It comes through body fluids of course, it comes with, you know, having sexual encounters with a male of the same gender. There's really no large statistics with a female being with female as far as passing the disease, unless the female has been with a male that's been with another male with the disease is passed through, but, you know, vaginal or definitely contact with bodily fluids, you know. So the reason why I think that is such a stigmatism is because if you say that someone in the congregation is suffering from the virus that causes AIDS, then they automatically look at them different. They're treated like a leper. And if you know anything about leprosy, you're basically put outside the town, put outside the city. You know, you can't even come to church. So that's why nobody wants to talk about it.
What do you think are some ways that this stigma can be addressed and alleviated?
Education.
All right, that's a good answer. If Jesus were alive today, what do you think he would say about how people with HIV have been treated by communities of faith?
Let who is without sin cast the first stone.
Do you think many faith communities' opposition to condom use is contributing to the spread of HIV?
Yes, simply because when they say you use a condom, you prevent the repopulation or the reproduction that Jesus, that the Bible speaks about being fruitful and multiply. Well, the Bible does talk about being fruitful and multiply, but also the Bible talks about being in a healthy relationship. Talk about man and a woman being in a marital relationship. So it's more than just sex, but you need to know the consequences behind the decision you made. And so if you say we bring condoms in the church, you're telling our young people to go ahead and have sex, just cover it up. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that you're already having sex. Be preventive. Keep from spreading not only HIV, but STDs, STIs, anything that can affect, not only infect, but affect a family.
Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebody.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us. This has been HIV Frontlines U.S. Edition from The Body. Be sure to check in frequently at thebody.com for the latest news and information on HIV.